Good afternoon, everyone. I believe we're ready to roll. Did some of you eat before grace? Did you start eating? Oh, my gracious. It's never too late for grace. Let's ask David to bless our group.
Thanks. You know, one of the privileges of being in ministry with you guys is that I learn as much from you as anything you could ever learn from me. And one of the things I've learned and come to appreciate is, there you are. Do you want to say grace too? Oh, okay. One of the things that I've adopted into our family now is something that I've learned from Angela Swetnam, and is one that I really appreciate. Because it's not as pious a prayer as I think a lot of us are used to at big events. And so I want to just follow in Angela's footsteps and ask you all to not bow your heads, to not close your eyes, but to instead look around. Look across at the table across from you. Look at the people down the table. Look around in this room. And be grateful for the amazing resources we have in one another. And also for the delicious food that we have before us and all those that have prepared it. I give thanks for all of you, for this time together, and for the spirit of grace that is here with us and all, at all times. Amen.
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 Thank you.
As we roll along this afternoon, there's still some goodies back there. Feel free to go refill your lemonade or iced tea or coffee or water or all three. Grab some cookies and cake, and this is going to be a relaxed, informal time of family together. As we recognize and honor and have a little fun with the man in the necktie. We can't say that very many Sundays, but if we haven't met, my name is Dean Sorensen. Rita and I are winter visitors and proud to be winter attendees at the Fountains. We come from up in the Midwest, and we kind of enjoy the weather down here in the winter, and we enjoy your hospitality being in the church here. And I will tell you, I'm kind of the fill-in today. Tom Dyer had wanted to be here and do this, and we all know that Tom is fighting his health challenges, and we wish he and his family the very, very best. We're going to have some fun today to, I don't know if we'll grill or roast or maybe slightly toast our friend and leader. And we have a number of you who have are participating. We have some outside dignitaries, and we maybe have a surprise or two for our guest of honor. We have a top 10 salute from one of his close friends. I think it'll be self-explanatory, and if it isn't, we'll explain more after the video.
David and I were introduced by a mutual friend, Carrie Coyer, in 1985. I still remember it. I was a hasher at the Kappa Alpha Theta sorority house down in Tucson, where Carrie was a sorority sister, and where we were both students at the U of A. David was visiting his friend Carrie, and they had lunch together there, and she introduced David to me. We wouldn't meet again until 1988, when we were ordained together in the United Methodist Church as deacons. Back then, we were ordained twice as Methodist clergy, and we used to joke that that must be because the Holy Spirit only filled you up to the belly button the first time. Well, that was just over 25 years ago. And so with you, I celebrate today David's ordination into the United Methodist Church. We would soon become close friends and colleagues. We would meet regularly and begin to collaborate on sermons and sermon series. Which is to say, if David has ever said anything brilliant from the pulpit at the Fountains, chances are good that I wrote it. All those groaners, he bears full responsibility for those. Nearly 15 years ago, David and I began working on a project that would become known as Living the Questions. We saw that our colleagues were utilizing curriculum which didn't exactly reflect who we were as progressive Methodists. And so, since there wasn't an existing program, we set about to create one. And David and I began videotaping folks like Jack Spong and Marcus Borg, Matthew Fox, Helen Prejean, and gathered these materials together to create an introduction to progressive Christianity that was called Living the Questions. And as you know, it has grown into a catalog of different programs. And I think it's fair to say that Living the Questions really has been an energizing project for both David and I, and has kept us intellectually stimulated and also enabled us to grow in our faith with integrity of mind and heart. I often wonder whether or not I would have stuck it out in the ministry, but for you, your love, your support, your encouragement, your inspiration, your stimulation, you have kept this fun, exciting, and worthwhile. And I give thanks for the role that you have played in my life and in my ministry. You've been more than a friend and colleague. You have been my brother. And I give thanks for the gift you are to the world, to the churches you serve, and to me. With the wonderful people of the Fountains and your family and friends, I celebrate a quarter century of ministry. Well done, good and faithful servant.
If you missed the beginning, it was Jeff Proctor Murphy from Dayspring now. And yes, Jeff often gets credit from the pulpit here, and we're proud to have him on our program this afternoon. Jeff Proctor Murphy, and we know a lot about him through our friend David. Another lifelong friend of David's from that church is Craig Hedges, and I believe Craig's here today. I've not met Craig, so Craig, would you please come up, ladies and gentlemen? Craig Hedges.
First. After Jeff Proctor Murphy?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to ask my wife to come up here, too, and join me, because she actually is featured in one of these stories. Actually, she's the main feature. We were lured to Via de Cristo United Methodist Church by one of David's marketing schemes. Our son Jordan had spent the night with a friend, and he showed up the next morning after being taken to church by that family with a Via de Cristo coffee mug filled with candy. So, yes, candy. David does give candy to children and lure people. So we visited Via de Cristo a couple of times. And we hadn't been in Arizona very long. And I came home one day. Come on up. This is my wife, Theo. And so I came home one day, and Theo hands me the phone and says, "It's Pastor David from Via de Cristo. He wants to talk to us about joining the church." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so I'm having this nice, pleasant conversation with David, who I don't know very well at all. I just visited a couple times. And all of a sudden, I hear this blood-curdling shriek from her and a string of four-letter words that I had never heard come out of her mouth. And I'm kind of going, "Gotta go," and hung up on David. And a few years later, I actually asked him if he remembered, you know, that thing. Because what happened was, she'd been cleaning out one of the boys' backpacks. She reached in and got her first scorpion sting. Welcome to Arizona. So she had, but she'd always been mortified that David had heard her swearing. And I asked him, I said, "Did you remember that?" And he said, "Well, I don't think I heard any swear words, but, you know, that wouldn't have fazed me at all. I did marry Laura." Where is Laura? Where is Laura? Oh, there's somewhere. You knew you wouldn't get by unscathed. Another story about David happened very recently. And our son Jordan just got married in April. And somehow Jordan managed to find a girl who loved the same things that he did: Legos and dinosaurs. And when David was meeting with them to plan the backyard wedding, it was informal, and he wanted to know what to wear, and he was informed of the Legos and dinosaurs theme that was being planned. And nonplussed as ever, David said, "No problem, I know exactly what to wear." And he showed up at our house to do the wedding, and he had a nice sport coat on and also a T-shirt that had a picture of Jesus riding a velociraptor. And yes, our daughter-in-law was absolutely thrilled. She thought it was the best thing ever. And the other story, I can't say it because I get choked up at stuff like this, so I ask her to read it.
And I'm going to try to get through it because I never get choked up. Okay. Now, after the incident with the scorpion that I thought for sure I was going to hear about, David came to our house to visit with us. And he was going to tell us all about the new church, and which was Via de Cristo Methodist Church.
And twist our arms to get us to join.
Yeah, or talk us into it. And we visited a couple of times over at the mortuary, which the chapel was lovely. And as Craig said, only David could make it, as welcoming and wonderful as it was. So we were sitting around our kitchen table, getting comfortable and everything, and hearing about the plans for the new church. And David said, "Craig, you're an advertising guy. Have you heard of our campaign, Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Doors?" And I'm going to read this in Craig's voice. "I hadn't. Well, we mean it. We're open to everyone. So if you aren't open to the possibility of LGBT welcoming congregation, we're probably not the right church for you." What David didn't know was that I have two gay siblings. And that when my sister would come to visit for the holidays, she would rarely go to church with us on Christmas Eve, because of the treatment she received by so-called Christians. And, she had been really turned away and turned off by that. Well, that Christmas she did come to Christmas Eve service with us, and ever since. And it changed her ways of looking at things. And we wanted to say a special thanks to David for making it possible for our whole family to go to church together on Christmas Eve.
Thank you, Hedges. Thank you very much for being with us today and sharing your thoughts. Many of us are of the generation of senior status in this church, but we have some young folks that keep us dynamic and young, and we'd like to have Emily Paul come up here and just share for a moment. Having Emily share for a moment is kind of using the word loosely.
Actually so funny. I was just gonna say, I was like, I don't know if this is short or long. I don't know how to roast or make coffee, so I'm gonna try. Okay, I've never been a good storyteller either, so I'm just gonna like follow the script, maybe. And in case you don't know me, which I hope most of you do, for good things, I'm Emily Paul, and I'm one of the youths here at this church. I've been with David for a really long time, like 8 years, ever since I was really, really itty-bitty. And so he's been in my family and in my life a whole bunch. And Pastor David Felton has been there through every twist and turn, every jump and fall, every step of my spiritual journey. I've been attending this church for 8 years now, and I can say without a doubt that he is the strongest influence on my life. He was there for my grandpa's memorial and helped my family through some really difficult times. He's the reason I decided to play the saxophone, actually, because I would like to be better than him. He's a really cool guy, but all of us already know that. So enough with the warm and fuzzy feelings. Let's talk about some stories, shall we? David's a storyteller and a fantastic one at that, but he talks a lot, and I talk a lot, so we get along. He talks about himself, he talks about you, he talks about we, he talks about he. He talks about me, and he talks about everyone, but he does it in such a way that you feel that when he talks about you, he, like, I don't know how to explain it. crap. when he talks, it's like, yeah, it's from the heart. It's special. It's like you get enthralled and like you're there. And my favorite moments are after one of his sermons, he always ends it in like a little story that he read or found off the internet or experienced. And those are my favorite little snippets of your sermons, is that I don't know. I just like stories. And so you're like the best storyteller around in my eyes. But what's actually really, really tiresome is when he talks and you're late for your 2 p.m. siesta because you're exhausted. And so, you know, because he goes off and off like I am right now. But what's more tiresome than that is like 5 minutes, mind you, 5 minutes before you're supposed to like sit down and see his little sermon and enjoy your time, he walks up to you and he goes, "Hey, can you fill in the blank?" He's like, "Hey, can you fill in the blank?" And so that's happened to me quite a few times. And actually, it was like a few years ago at the Thanksgiving interfaith Thanksgiving thing. I remember David walked up to me and I wasn't dressed properly, and I thought I was going to sit in the back of the church, and instead I sat in the middle of the Catholic church, and everyone's dressed up in their little nice Sunday uniforms, and here I am, t-shirt and basketball shorts, and I was given a script, and I walked up to the front with as much pride as possible, and I read for like 3 seconds, and I went, and I sat back down, and I remember that because if it weren't for the fact that David made me do this, I probably wouldn't be standing up here right now babbling. And so I'm going to go sit down now. But anyways, David's a very special person to me, and I don't know how else to describe it. So anyways, thank you.
Thank you, Emily. You always remind us that the future is in good hands with folks like you. Bless your heart. One of the other members of our community we'd like to share now, a journalist who not only writes well and you read his material often, but he also will speak today well. Here is Todd Elwood to share his comments.
I understand we can work blue. No? Okay. You've been warned. And I noticed I'm always prepared. I noticed we don't have a drummer, so. Are you ready?
Throw some mic on there.
This is a roast, right? This is a roast. Good morning. I'm going to keep this short, which is an expression I've never heard from Pastor David Felton. Preaching for 25 years, right? And that was just last Sunday's sermon. This is a roast? Okay. Many of you have had conversations with Pastor David and know he has a touch of ADD. A touch. But you shouldn't worry about it. Moses, after all, started out as a basket case. I actually had the opportunity to work with David and Pastor Jeff Proctor Murphy, who we saw earlier. When they published their book, they asked me to do some advertising materials. And so I interviewed them as a journalist and wrote some press materials. And I will never forget our first meeting together. We met at Chompy's for breakfast. And we enjoyed a meal together, and then after the meal, we got down to business. I sat my tape recorder right in the middle of the table. I said, "Pastor David, first question is for you." 2.5 hours later, as the wait staff is now serving lunch, I said, I had to stop him, and I said, "Let me repeat the question. It's F-E-L-T-E-N?" " In all sincerity, Pastor David, F-E-L-T-E-N, congratulations. When I tell other people about you, I sometimes describe you as a surgeon rather than a preacher, because while other churches seem very happy to dissect people's brains from their church-going bodies, every week you work miracles by sewing together our heads, our hearts, and our souls into one healthy being. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much, Todd. Thank you. A lot of talent for us today to share, by golly. Talking about talent, one of the talents that we had in our church for a couple of years was Jason Fleck. Jason ran our music program. Jason couldn't be with us today in person, but he wanted to send along his wishes, and we have him on the screen.
So my first memory of David Felton was actually not meeting him. It was a letter that I received from him. It was the summer of 1990. I was still in college. He was not. And I was on Cape Cod doing summer stock. And I get this letter saying, "Hey, my name's David. I'm going to be the new associate pastor at Epworth, where I know you attend, and I just wanted to drop you a line and say hi." And that was my first memory of him. From there, I ended up being music director there while he was the associate pastor, and we were colleagues, but more importantly, we became friends. I had the interesting experience of being with him and Laura on their first date, where she wasn't even sure it was a date, and neither were the rest of us. But apparently it was, and it turned out okay. Subsequently, I had the pleasure of singing at their wedding, and actually, he officiated my wedding, both of them. First one to think, second one I've got a real strong feeling about. And from there, you know, we worked together at the Fountains and have remained friends. And I don't know, what can I say? He's a great guy, and I wish you much happiness in the years to come. And congratulations on 25 years so far. Wish I could be there to see everybody. All right, miss you guys.
Jason Fleck, who ran our music department here at the church for a number of years. Presently, you know, a church always has to have a hierarchy, and we have one here. We call it the church council, and the chairman of our church council is Hunter Lott. I suppose he could be the boss if you wanted to call him that, but let's call him the next speaker. Here is Hunter Lott.
I'm really struck. I've got to say, for those of you that don't know me, Nancy and I have only been here a couple of years. We came from Minnesota and started looking for churches and found this wonderful, wonderful place. So I don't know a lot of these people that are talking to you. So it's a very eclectic group of friends you seem to have. bringing his own drum roll. Wow. and I go, "Where's Emily?" "I can't believe you're complaining, Emily, about somebody else talking too much." Perfect. I'm not going to take a lot of time. It's a great pleasure and an honor to serve this church and to be a part of the family. I'm very proud and honored to have David and to call him my friend and my pastor. And we're looking forward to a long and successful relationship. I wish him and Laura the best. Thank you for everything you've done for all of us.
I'm going to hug everybody.
Thank you, Hunter. First speaker every morning at church seems to be this lady. When we ask for announcements, Dee Dee Rudolphy is always ready to help us out with a few. She's kind of, I call her the glue of everything in the church, and she has a few gluing comments about David and his experiences.
She's the boss, not Hunter. Let's just get that straight.
All right. From your very first Sunday, July 1st, 2006, we knew the Fountains was in for an exciting ride. We had just dealt with Pastor Mark Lansbury, who did not want to leave the Fountains, and heard that you did not want to leave your church at Via di Cristo. But before long, the people at the Fountains wormed their way into your heart, and you wormed your way into ours. Now, worm is probably a really bad analogy, because many of your messages have helped to free us from the guilt of being wretched, worse than wretched worms, helping us to respond, to accept the responsibility and to let it go. We have learned some new ways to do church. The bulletin became the worship guide. The sermon became the message. Familiar hymns were sung with new and refreshing words. Not only are we multi-faith focused, we have become multilingual, learning Hebrew and Greek. We started learning Hebrew like Ruach and Baruch Atadonai and the latest Chesed. For many of us, you have helped to expand our view of God to spirit, divine mystery, and a whole lot more, as Marcus Borg would put it. We are challenged every week to become followers of Jesus. Your ministry style has been to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. You do that very well. You came with your young family. Sam and Maddie were 13 months old, and Nat was 7. What fun we have had as a church family watching them grow. After working with David for 9 years, I have composed a list of top 10 pros and cons of working with Pastor David. I will start with the cons, because I always like to end on a positive note. Staff meetings with David are a bit like watching a ping pong match in the middle of an earthquake. What squirrel? Wait, I gotta show you this Eddie Izzard visit video. A person has to have a lot of energy to keep up with David. His great ideas sometimes must be scaled back to do that which is humanly possible. Michelle and I have our hands full. Going on a mission trip with David Felton is a lot like having 2 extra kids. This is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not sure which one of us has the messier office. This is not a good thing. 5 minutes before church or almost any event, I can be heard saying, "Is David here yet?" The pros of working with David. Life is never boring when David is around. The excitement he brings to projects and new ideas is a force to be reckoned with. I have seen David, number 4, is I have seen David use humor to diffuse tense and critical situations. Knowing when and how to do this is a gift. And number 3, there's always music. There's always music. Number 2, I appreciate so much the support that you've given to me, and especially to Derek, encouraging him to serve on the PowerPoint team. And the number 1 pro for working with David is never seeing you give up on the dream and the someday reality that human beings at their best can learn to love and respect each other. I have seen and been a part of classes, services, and events where David has worked tirelessly for this needed change in our world. I count it a privilege to be a small part. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Thank you, Brian, for joining in. A couple other members of our congregation would like to share with us this afternoon. Phil Iverson would like to speak up. Phil, are you ready to roll here? Please come forward.
Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Iverson. Yay!
Well, my thoughts happen to coincide very closely with a wonderful message from Pastor Reagan this morning. As there are probably 15 or 20 members of this, excuse me, of this congregation that are refugees from a church of a bitter split over prejudice against some of members of our society. But it turned out to be the most fortunate thing that ever happened. And David has had such a positive and influence on my life, I'll be forever indebted. And so I was happy to know that, hear that the Fountain Hills Ministerial Association is going to have a roast for you too. And I really was encouraged to hear that. But then I heard from other members that they were referring to it as a Joan of Arc roast. So I think maybe, David, I would suggest you not attend that one.
Glad we didn't miss out on that, huh? I was raised in a very Methodist household where we were always taught that Methodism had its real attribute because you could get some spirituality, fellowship, and politics all in one stop. And we've loved up to that at all times. Delia Sines, a member of our congregation, would like to share with us. Delia, please step forward.
Thanks, Dean. And I have to apologize. I'm not a roaster or a griller. Well, I am a griller, but I'm not grilling today. This is more like a gentle toast. So I think those of you who know me know that I really love to travel, whether it's domestically or internationally. It's just one of the things that I like to do because I think it opens my eyes to so many different things. And so back in 99, I got the opportunity to go to the Holy Land. We traveled to Israel for almost 3 weeks. And I like to, you know, reflect on that particular journey. And I always think of it as the journey of a lifetime, because if you've been to the Holy Land, you learn so much, not just from the religious aspect, but also historically so much has happened there. Architecturally, you get to see these beautiful mosaics as well, all sorts of different buildings. And then culturally, there's such a mixing, often in a segregated kind of way, but you see so much in the Holy Land culturally. And so when I think of my own life and going through the past however many decades, I like to also reflect on the fact that I've been on a spiritual journey. And sometimes I'm intensely on the journey, and sometimes I take a detour, and then after I'm strayed far enough, I think, oh my gosh, I need to get back to my spiritual journey. And I'd like to say that when we started coming here in 2008, my spiritual journey got re-engaged in a very intense way. And a lot of that had to do with the people at the Fountains, and very specifically with David. Like my journey to Israel, I learned a lot about religion, not just about organized religion and learning about what mainline churches are doing or not doing, but also about individual religion. And so one of the things I'm most grateful for is that when our daughters went through here, Sedona in particular had very strong philosophical beliefs about religion and Christianity and God. But when she went through confirmation, David actually honored who she is by creating a script that would allow her to endorse that full journey for herself without violating any of her values. But at the same time, it created an understanding for her of what it means to be a follower of Christ. So for that, I'm extremely grateful, David. It meant a lot to our whole family. Likewise, historically, I've learned so much about people who have been brave, people who've been ostracized, people who've gone through a lot of struggle because of their conviction about what it's like to be a follower of Christ. And much of this I've learned from David. And in fact, any of you who sit next to me at church see me turning the bulletin every which way as I take notes, because there's just so much to learn, and I want to capture it, and then I want to go home and reflect on it. So historically, I've learned so much, and I thank you for that, David. Architecturally, heck, I know what caves were like 2,000 years ago, and what mangers were built of. And more importantly, architecturally, I've learned a lot about hierarchies of power, again, from coming to church and learning about how power can be detrimental to civilization, to people, and can destroy the love that really naturally comes down and is embedded within each of us. And needless to say, culturally, David, you provide such awareness and understanding to all of us, whether it's about ethnic, racial differences or histories, whether it's about the LGBT community and their challenges, whether it's about class and how we segregate, or nationality and how we think that possibly a river can make one child of God different from another child of God. And it's not just about understanding. It's about creating real awareness of the role that each of us plays in creating these lines and these hierarchies. But most of all, I think I've gained so much and learned so much about the culture of love. So I have been building that awareness for the past 6 years. My understanding has increased tremendously, so much so that sometimes I'll leave here and I'll call somebody up and say, listen to this. Or when we have our research meetings in social psychology, I'll incorporate what I've learned at church that Sunday. And equally important, I think, David, you have challenged me in ways that I've never been challenged to really live with compassionate love. And so I thank you for all of that. And I'd like to just wrap up by saying, just as my trip to Israel was the journey of a lifetime, I think the wisdom and the humor and the love that you give each of us really gives us a journey for a lifetime. And I thank you, my friend, very much for that.
Thank you, dear. You set the scene very nicely for our next guest today. We're all aware that our church has become a meeting place and a gathering place for people of all kinds of faiths and religions. Sometimes you pick up the church guide and you look at the schedule for the week and you say, are the Methodists going to do anything in this building this week? But for many of us, it's expanding our thought process. And today, Naomi Lerman, who is from the Beth Havigat Group, is here to visit with us, and we welcome her and are anxious to hear from her. Please.
It is such an honor to be here today and to be a part of this celebration of David Felton. I'm actually here in two capacities, one as a representative of Congregation Beth Hagivot, but secondly, and more important to me, as a David Felton groupie. So, for the... But on behalf of Beth Hagivot, I just can't say enough in how David has brought us into this family, has provided us with this beautiful space to worship in, which has certainly enhanced our congregation tremendously. David has reached out to us. He's been our wannabe rabbi. He has always reached out when we've had a new spiritual leader. David's met with them and just been so welcoming and so amazing. He honors us with having our ark in plain sight. And it's just been an incredible, wonderful association. And I just can't say enough about it. Now, David also, no one's mentioned David's work in the interfaith community. And it's so important what David has brought to this town, which some of us think has been a little bit conservative. I'm not allowed in the Ministerial Association either. But then, you know, to me, it's like heaven. I wouldn't want to go there because the people are so boring. But David has brought us together and really been the driving force of all of us learning together about each other, about each other's traditions, and most importantly, that we are all really the same. We don't have a lot of differences. So Laura said to me, well, you can't have him until the kids are grown. To which I said, well, you have nothing to worry about. I'll be dead by then. But knowing David has been such an enrichment to my life. He's challenged me intellectually. He's welcomed me into the Mountains family. I've gotten to go to all of his classes, which I totally adore because I think David is brilliant. Almost as smart as me.
Or your grandson.
Or my grandson, right. He's also just been a shining light and opened my eyes to so many things in terms of what a true Christian is. Being Jewish, I didn't have a lot of knowledge about Christianity. And actually, I've been studying this week about Abraham. And when God appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, and Abraham answered, Hineni, that's Hebrew, and it means here I am. And I was just thinking, you know, that's David. You call to him, and he says, Hineni, I'm here. Whatever you need me for, David is there. So in addition to his intellect, there's his compassion and his love for everyone who's worth loving. So for me, David represents what a real Christian should be. And I am just incredibly grateful for friendship and love and mutual understanding. So thank you, David. I just have to add, mazel tov.
Thank you, Ms. Lerman, and thanks to your congregation for sharing you with us today. Thank you very much. Our next guest is here via video today. If you grew up in Phoenix as a young person in the late 50s, 60s, and 70s, there was a popular children's TV show called Wallace and Lambo, or Lando, I don't know, something like that. Ladmo, there you go. And they had a sidekick by the name of Geraldine or many other names. And it was played by a fellow named Pat McMahon. And then if you were a teenager here in the 60s, he was a rock and roll disc jockey on the radio. And now he's somewhat of a voice of reason, I would call him. He does some interview shows on KTAR, which run at about 3 in the morning. And but you can also get him podcasts, and they're pretty good listening as you go for your walk. And so Pat wanted to be part of our program today.
Hey, David, yes, it's me, Pat McMahon. And since you visited me on so many of my TV and radio shows, I thought I would join you on your turf. Because after 25 years in the ministry, you really have to answer this one question. Just who do you think you're kidding? You've had captive congregations on the West Side and the East Valley. You've had your own television series. You've traveled as far as Western Australia. Isn't it about time you understood what people have been trying to tell you for more than a quarter of a century? David, nobody wants to hear you play your damn saxophone. I mean, you were a music major at Arizona State. And when you found out what kind of money musicians made, you immediately decided to embrace the glamour of the ministry. I mean, how many people really know how much goes into the collection basket, huh? Answer that, Reverend Sticky Fingers. In closing, I know that there are a lot of Protestant heavyweights that would love to see you join another club. And I know how much you've expressed your admiration for Pope Francis, but I've already heard from the Vatican. The message was simple. Felden, don't do us any favors. Haven't we had enough trouble since that Martin Luther guy decided to mess around with everything? We don't need another annoying troublemaker, especially one with a saxophone. So, David, for the next 25, try this. Continue being a Methodist. Continue being a good family man. And please continue to accept my invitations to join me on my TV and radio shows. But leave the horn at home, okay?
That's more humor than Pat usually evolves. That's great. Good to have him. When you see Pat next time, talk to him. Thank him for his taking time to make our presence today. Let's. We met early in the program, Mr. Proctor Murphy. Let's ask him to come back and wrap up our program. And when we're done with this comment, then you can have the microphone, David.
Now, you may think you know David Felton, but I'm here to share with you the top 10 things you probably don't know about David. Number 10. Once ditched annual conference for the day to go sailing with friends. Number 9. Owns a 65 Mustang, collecting dust and value in a garage. Number 8. Got his butt kicked by Bishop Galvan on the tennis court. Number 7, has been awarded bachelor's degrees in both the northern and southern hemispheres. Number 6, was once goosed by Jerry Falwell. Number 5, declined being a Rotary Scholar in South Africa when he realized he'd be muzzled upon return. He went down under instead. Number 4, his mother knew better than to interrupt him during an episode of Lost in Space. Number 3, has appreciated all Fred Phelps did for the GLBT movement. May he rest in peace. Number 2, like our president, has fond boyhood memories growing up. And number 1, crushes on Rachel Maddow.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, there are a number of occasions where Jeff and I have been working with scholars and teachers filming for Living the Questions, and a number of them have been very attractive lesbians. And so Laura says that she doesn't mind me having a crush on them. So, thank you so much for being here today. I would be lying if I didn't say I... Oh, okay. I was told we had till 2. Now I forgot what I was saying. I would be lying if I didn't say that I came to this morning with no small amount of trepidation. I had no idea what was going to unravel today, including myself. So I'm really grateful for all of you who have spoken today, to David for being here, to Cynthia for being here, for Dee Dee, who with her minions is responsible for concocting this whole day and for bringing it all together. So can we say thank you to Dee Dee? Oh, more. And that's one of the things that I have to say is a part of what I'm feeling right now is gratitude for over the past 25 years, all the people who have contributed to getting me to this point. Todd mentioned my taste of ADHD. Sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm there, usually several seconds apart. And one of the things that I've been grateful for from the woman that I married, being a solid CPA, in other words, keeping me on track in rational things, to all of the people that have worked with me for years who have been able to, as Dee Dee said, take my crazy ideas and bring them to fruition, a feat that I would otherwise not have been able to do. So I'm grateful for all of you that have caught the vision here and there and been able to help make it happen. I want to springboard off of what David said, that when we first met one another and were working together and saw the challenges before us, one of the things that we knew were going to be a major, major challenge was going before our congregations and being honest about what we learned in seminary and what we were experiencing in our own spiritual journeys, sometimes which was uncertainty and was disagreement with what the conventional wisdom was. And so without exception, I have to say that there is no way that I could have gotten to where I am at. There's no way that any of us could get to where we're at as clergy without people like you. Being it at Epworth or at Via de Cristo or here at the Fountains, it is people like you who have given me and colleagues like me the cover, the opportunity, the privilege of being honest. And once you've had a taste of what we're struggling with and where we're going, to say, I want more, I want more, and not being satisfied with what the old way was. And so I want to offer my gratitude to all of you for having created the environment, for having created the space where I could be me and where all of us together could be in mutual ministry together. I think it was Don that went back to South Dakota a couple of years ago, and when he came back to the Fountains, he said, "Whew, boy, it usually takes me a few weeks when I go back to my church in South Dakota to kind of ease back into the traditional Methodist church." And that is great because we get people visiting here from all over the place, and they say, "This is such a different place," and it's not just because of the message. And this held true at Via de Cristo as well as at the Fountains. It's because people get the bug for hospitality and for welcoming people. And it's something that once you get caught up in that, that there's an endorphin that goes that says, wow, so this is what it means to be welcoming of all people. And we hear that all the time. Now, of course, there are many people that say, wow, so this is what it's like to welcome other people. And they're out the door, and that's fine. You know, one of my colleagues, Bill Nelson, has been very encouraging over the years, and he said that, you know, as I go along, he said, you just need to continue to be who you are and be honest about where you're at, and that is what people are going to learn to depend on. And so I want to reflect that back to you as my gratitude for your being honest with your questions and being vulnerable enough to say, wow, I have never heard that before. I want to know more. So I want to leave you guys with just saying what a love I have for this privilege of being in ministry with you. When I graduated from Boston University, I was privileged to have studied with all sorts of amazing people. And I think you've probably heard from my quoting him all the time in my sermons about my mentor, Harold Beck, who died at the end of my second year in seminary. But those 2 years were so intense. They changed my life forever. And we all felt such gratitude for being in his classes. And I have been in situations just a few years ago when we went to the Sierra Service Project in Los Angeles. I was asked to fly over and help plan the theological background that the kids were going to work on. And one night we went to the home of the chair of the Sierra Service Project. And her husband was in the kitchen busily cooking bulgogi, a fantastic Korean banquet that he was preparing. And as we were talking, he'd said he'd gone to Boston, he'd gone to MIT. And I said, oh, I went to Boston University across the river. We started sharing stories. And as we went along, he said, yeah, I was, you know, studying engineering. He's a venture capitalist now. But he was studying engineering there at MIT. And he said, well, you know, I used to go over to BU all the time because there was this one teacher that was there. His classes were absolutely standing room only. And I would go over to BU from MIT just to squeeze in the door, just to audit one class. And I said, Harold Beck. And he said, that's right, you know him. And I said, absolutely, I know him. And I run into people all the time that had that kind of an influence, that he had that kind of influence upon. And so I hark back to when he retired from BU. He had gotten a lot of grief from the administration. There was a lot of tension. The school administration was trying to close the School of Theology because the professors were too radical for the image that the school was trying to project into the world. And so they were trying to fire people, and one of the ways they did it was by saying, you didn't publish enough, or you didn't publish in the right journals, and so that's grounds for your dismissal. And Harold was one that didn't spend a lot of time writing. Instead, he was probably at half to three-quarters of the conferences in this country of the United Methodist Church. He was the go-to speaker because he was such an engaging, inspiring speaker. And so people across the country knew him. And when we came to his final Sunday or his final day, his retirement speech that he gave, he came up into Marsh Chapel and he marched up onto the platform and he had this big sheath of papers that he put up on the podium. And he said, this is a roster of all of the students that I've had over the last 30 years. Every single one of them. And he started flipping through and naming names and talking about what they were doing and that kind of a thing. And he looked out across the congregation and he said, I may have not published many books, and I may not have published in the right journals, but this roster is my book, and you are the stories in that book. And I'm counting on you going out there and being the ones that carry on my legacy. None of us have ever forgotten that. And I run into people all over the country who remember that day as a day that we were charged with going out into the world. And I'll always, I mean, Hunter, you might be upset to hear this, but one of the things that Harold sent us out with is that if you are in ministry more than 3 years and the CIA does not have a dossier on you, you're not doing it right. And so today I want to leave you all with a charge. This has been fantastic and flattering, and I'm so honored. And it reminds me of why it is I went into this business in the first place. And that was to be with people. To be with people who have a vision for what the world can be like. To be not over people, but with people who sense the call in their lives that Jesus' teachings put into their hearts, that sense the call that is put in their lives when they see the suffering of those who are left out, who have no voice, to see the way we as a community can sometimes be so apathetic about the way people are treated, that we can no longer be counted with those people who walk by anyone who is hurting or excluded or left out without having our heart break, and know that the Spirit is calling us to work together. And what a privilege it is for all of us to work together, not on our own, but all together to make a difference in the world. We have an opportunity here. I say to my friends at Via de Cristo and to those from the Fountains as well, we have a privilege of being like communities that so many other people are longing for. They might just not know that it's here. When we did the Business Expo a couple of weeks ago, another Didi success, we sat there with our Praise Well With Others banner, our Praise Well With Others t-shirts, and people, there were many people, the look was something like this. Our table was here, and they would kind of go like this and walk by. And then a few minutes later, I'd see them walking by like this. Some people would actually stop and ask us questions. There were several that literally saw us from a distance and went like this. To not let anything rub off on us, on them. But there were other people that said, I had no idea there was a church like this in Fountain Hills. If I would have known there was a church like this, I'd go to that church. And I think that's one of the reasons why I am proud to say that I am the pastor at that church. And I am so proud to be in ministry with all of you. 25 years, I cannot believe how quickly it's gone. I cannot wait to see what the next 25 years has in store. And I cannot wait to see what the next few years have in store for all of us gathered here. The talent, the skills, the abilities, the gifts. We have the opportunity to be a beacon in this town, in this city, and who knows how far, because you all are the ones that can make the difference. And I'm so grateful to be in ministry with you. So thank you again for this opportunity to say a few words, and I'll try to end up before Todd Elwood does another drum roll. Here it comes. Here it comes. All right. I So once again, I just want to say thank you to Didi and to everyone who helped organize this today. My heart is full. I am so grateful. Thank you so much for being here. And here's to another 25 years. Thank you.